The Church of Christ is not a religion that we talk about very much. Now, we're all familiar with their a cappella stance on singing in their gatherings. We're all familiar that the Church of Christ considers instruments to be somewhat of an offense to proper worship. You know, they want to get back to the first century church with their air conditioning and pews and buildings and large assemblies. But, you know, they want to get back to the first century church. The Church of Christ is not a Christian group. We must oppose them as those who teach justification by works, sadly. I think the Church of Christ is the closest religion to the truth on its way to hell. That is the only thing that I find, you know, explicitly demanded in its essential core theology that is erroneous, is that they believe water baptism is necessary for justification. No water baptism, your sin is not removed. You will die. You will be judged. You will be condemned. No water baptism, no salvation. That is the position of the Church of Christ. And my interactions with this group throughout the years have been scattered and varied, but it always comes down to this. I had a chaplain, long before I was a chaplain, in Afghanistan many years ago, that sort of introduced me to a right and a left wing of the Church of Christ. He said there's some teaching baptismal salvation, and he didn't like it. He considered it wrong. And after much, much debate, he very, very reluctantly sort of laid down water baptism. No, you don't need it to be born again, to be justified either. But it took me some time to get him to admit it, a painful process. And I sort of breathed a sigh of relief and learned that there are some within this religious group that may be teaching good Christian truth. I just, you know, for whatever reason, they're in this group. But the group's doctrine itself is a false doctrine. It's dangerous because it teaches salvation of works. One of the cores of Christianity is justification by faith alone. You throw that out, you deny the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ demands that Jesus saves you. If you're going to come to the cross, you're going to come to the Savior who is able to save to the uttermost. Yet He actually paid it all, and all to Him I owe. This is Romans 3, verse 21, through the end of Romans 4, the great layout that God has always justified by faith alone, by the imputation of righteousness. See my recent published letter on this called Imputed Righteousness on Biblicia.com. It is a long and extensive treatment on imputation and its necessity to Christian beauty and truth. The Church of Christ denies that. They do not believe in the imputation of righteousness, therefore. Folks, there's a grand canyon of difference in the Scriptures. You are either justified by faith or by works. After all the arguments are said and done, after all the nuances are evaluated, after all of the different wordings and terminologies which can and do need to be resolved to what they communicate specifically between different groups, after all that is examined, the Church of Christ teaches emphatically that unless you are water baptized, you cannot be saved. That doesn't cut the mustard. And we need to identify this. So it's not just that they don't use guitars in the services. Okay, you don't want to use guitars? You think that God is somehow emotionally dishonored by music? God bless you. I mean, as long as you're not calling someone that uses a guitar like, you know, a pagan worshiper, and you're not overstepping the bounds of adiaphora, then God bless you. You want to sing a cappella, man? Sing it loud, sing it proud. I do not at all condemn them for that. Not at all. I think that is perfectly within your purview if you choose to run a church service that never uses drums because you think drums get emotional. Okay, as long as you're not condemning someone that uses drums, that might be a problem. Okay, do your thing. The Church of Christ teaches that God cannot save anybody. Now, this error is shown, of course, in numerous false religions. But in the Church of Christ, it's odd because it's reduced down to just one work, water baptism. And of course, the verses that are used to champion it, if that's all we had in the Bible, we would teach, most likely, a baptismal regeneration. Not to say that the Bible is confusing, but we need to let Scripture interpret Scripture and balance itself out. And when it does, we understand that the Bible speaks of works justifying us in ways that don't mean justification. We understand what James talks about, that faith is always accompanied by obedience. That fruit is always the evidence of the tree. That those who do the will of the Father are of the Father. And those who do not, Jesus will say in the end, I never knew you. That it's those who build their house, hear the word of the Lord, and obey it, that are building their house on the rock. But those who hear the word and don't obey it, implying process on both ends, are the ones whose houses are built on sand. We understand this. But when we say that Christianity eliminates boasting, we are talking about a justification that is by faith alone. And by faith, that means that Jesus, by his life and crucifixion and all of his works and resurrection, has merited the salvation that we need. That's all we need. And that if we have the Son, if we are elect of the Father, drawn by the Father, as Jesus said in John 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. If that drawing has happened to an individual in their life, and they come near to the Savior, then that person will have a life that seeks after and loves to seek after Jesus progressively more and more. We know this. We know that this is the case, and it will encompass many obedient things. But that salvation is not of works is too clearly stated for any good Bible student taught by the Holy Spirit to possibly be able to deny. It can't be denied. Okay, so passages that are looked at without a doubt very clearly is in Mark 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes not will be condemned. Jesus could very well just as easily said, he who believes and takes the Lord's Supper will be saved. He who believes not will be condemned. That is, he called for baptism. It is something that we do, but then the very next statement in the verse says, and he who believes not will be condemned. Ultimately, it is about belief. It is not about baptism or a water ceremony that saves you. The other passage just looked at, surely, is in Acts chapter 2 with Peter's Pentecost sermon invitation to repent and be baptized. And we understand that that's exactly what Peter called them to do, and that's exactly what those grown men that day did, and thousands were saved. And then in the very next chapter, he called them to repent and be converted, and thousands more were added. And there's no mention of water baptism. And then there are plenty of other places where salvation is preached and taught, and no baptism is even commanded. And so again, we see an instance where baptism is called for, water baptism, and is obeyed. And then we see other instances where it is not. And then we see explicit passages where Paul said things like, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach. And then we see other passages that explicitly state that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his grace that he saved us. Baptism is a work of righteousness. It is a work of righteousness. It's something I am commanded to do. If I want to show my allegiance to God, I am supposed to be water baptized. My children, if they profess allegiance to God, are to be water baptized. But the Bible balances out the idea that by this one invitation of Peter, or this one statement of Jesus, all of Scripture, that all of these commandments are to be obeyed, but that justification is still by faith alone. Another passage is that of the Philippian jailer and of the Ethiopian eunuch, both of them being baptized in water upon profession of faith. What must I do to be saved? Believe, and you'll be saved, you and your household. That night he gets baptized. That's the Philippian jailer. he and his household, the Ethiopian eunuch, you know, here's water. Look, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip says, let's do it, essentially, with a textual variant there. And then he goes down and baptizes him in the water. The other passages that's used is in Timothy. I believe it's 1 Timothy 3. I'm sorry, I'm driving right now, so I can't open my text. Where it talks about baptism now saving you. Not the washing of water, external, the answer of a good conscience toward God, etc. A very difficult passage because of the context of Noah and the preaching and all the things in it. But again, very clearly, it's not the water that saved Noah. It's actually the ark. And it's actually the grace. And water baptism is a symbol of the salvation. It's what accompanied it, but it is not what saved Noah. The waters did not save Noah. If anything, they would have killed Noah. It was the grace of God that saved Noah and the ark that God gave. So we can't lose the imagery there by connecting it to water baptism directly in saying that it saves you in any different way than James says works justify you. They don't justify in the sense of what justification is when we talk of by faith alone. And they don't save in the sense of we say Jesus is the Savior of His people, but works subsequent to our regeneration do play a part in our sanctification. And so they do justify and they do save in that sense of the term. And a theology must parse this out, must determine this, or we end up creating great confusion and shipwreck, as the Church of Christ does. So the Church of Christ seemingly has things right in salvation. Things are correct. But the moment you say you're not able to be regenerated until you're water baptized, that you're not justified until you're water baptized, you just said you're saved by works. And whenever you get confused by that, whether it's Mark 16 or the Ethiopian eunuch or the Philippian jailer or either 1 or 2 Timothy 3, I believe it is, excuse me, and the passage there on the waters with Noah and baptism now saving, these are the most common verses used. You will have to work this out. You will have to remember that there are other passages that very clearly state, nonetheless, that it is by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So the moment you define what a work is, you have to say, I can't be saved by one or two or any of them. I have to be saved by faith alone, and then the Bibles talk about all the works and the demonstrations of faith and the fact that they are indispensable to a true saving faith begin to become very clearly what they are, which are descriptors of what we need to remember in the salvation we profess, that we're going to have works. They're beautiful, and we need to have those reminders so often given. So the Church of Christ, again, is not one that many of us talk about. It's not a group we interact with all that often sometimes. And because of that, they sort of sneak under the radar quite a bit. But it is a non-Christian group. It is a group that is teaching that you save yourself by works. And the moment we begin to doubt that, when you see the verses utilized, as I began to say a moment ago, whenever I begin to think, man, you know, this is, look at Peter's invitation, and look at this and this and this, and you start to wonder, and you got to make, God, help me make sure on this, I come back to Paul's argument in Galatians against those who added just circumcision to the free grace of justification. And I look at what Paul said about this and how he anathematized it as a false gospel. And he said that those teaching it are accursed. Just add this one work. Now there was more than just circumcision that they were being duped by these Judaizers. The Judaizers were in fact teaching, you know, we see in Galatians that they're observing, you know, new moons and festivals and feast days and different things there in the churches Paul's addressing. But he makes a specific application of circumcision in that place. And he says, if you take this one work and you add it to the grace of justification, if you think it's making you perfect, you have fallen from grace, and Christ will profit you nothing. Nothing. The doctrine is destroyed. The gospel is nullified by just this one thing. Yes. So when the Church of Christ comes along and says, well, you can believe on the Lord, but unless you're water baptized to be saved, it is no less a perversion. It is no less an addition of a work of righteousness. Notice, it is a work we're commanded to do. It is no more a false addition of that than you have to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. You are either saved 100% by faith or 100% by works, folks. The Bible makes this clear. Cursed is everyone who doesn't continue in everything written in the book of the law to do it. That if you, as Paul argued in Galatians, want to keep the law, you're a debtor to keep all of it. You can't just keep one commandment, fail in five more, and expect keeping one to justify. So the contrast is made very clear. And that's our problem with the Church of Christ, is that it, whether it's one work or seven works or 54 works that you want to say are required in order for God to say, look, you're forgiven for your sin, no matter how many works you add, if you add one, listen, you don't just slightly impinge on justification by faith alone, you outwardly oppose it. And that's how fragile, but how clear this is in Scripture. And the moment you understand this, and then you understand the Bible's talks about the necessity of works in our life to show that it's no dead faith and that it is alive and active, the Bible becomes a wonderfully clear gospel of grace explaining truth. So that's our problem with the Church of Christ, folks. It's not that they don't use instruments. It's not some other various practices where, despite the fact that they have air conditioning and pews and everything else, they claim to be back to the first century church. It's not that. God bless you for those things, if that's what you want to do. Don't condemn others who don't, and you're okay. But the problem is that they teach you are saved by your works. And that's why it's another gospel. Folks, last thing I'm going to say, I consider it a great sin to divide with people in the faith for no good reason. And I've failed in this, and I've learned what I don't want to ever do on purpose in it by elevating adiaphoran differences to matters of division, and I will never willingly do it. But what the Church of Christ teaches in this transgresses the gospel. It tramples on the blood of Christ, just like any other works righteous religion. And I challenge you to consider it. Look at their faith statement. Tell me if I'm wrong. But engage your Church of Christ people as you would a Roman Catholic. It's another religion teaching a justification by works. And it's unlivable. It won't save them. Except maybe by ignorance. Maybe. And that's not what we're going for. So I wanted to address the Church of Christ today because, again, it's not something you hear talked about very often. But if you add one work or 74 works, you've added works and you've destroyed the gospel. And that's been my conversations with Church of Christ representatives recently and in the past. They're not brothers and sisters in Christ. They cannot be soundly and safely considered such while teaching that water baptism is how you get your sin forgiven. No, folks, you get your sin forgiven when God regenerates you and leads you to justification, and he justifies you, and that brings your repentance with and before and through and by your regeneration. And it is by grace that we're saved through faith. It is, as Paul told Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his grace he saved us. Washing, regeneration. That is how we are saved. And by grace alone, by faith alone, and Christ alone. That is the core of this beautiful gospel that I wish the Church of Christ had. And if I'm wrong, show me where by their doctrine. Find me their preachers that will not say, unless you're water baptized, you're not a Christian. Well, to hell with that. That isn't what Christ taught. That isn't what the apostles did and taught. And that ain't what we should be teaching today either. We should be telling people to be baptized because of their faith in Jesus in obedience. We should not be telling them to get baptized so that God can have mercy on them and forgive their sin. I'm sorry. That is another gospel.